That Lord, as I go into your word to share under covering, I duck under covering, because your word to go forth out of me like streams of living water. Lord, to break every yoke in our lives, to set men free. Lord God, as the word goes forth, let it be bring edification to the body. And those that were listening even to this message, Father, I also humble myself, Father, strip myself of every confidence and my own knowledge and ability to minister your word. I put my confidence in your mercy and the grace of our Lord Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit. As I preach, teach, and minister, I will minister effectively as an oracle of God. That, Lord, your word will go forth in power, in accuracy, in clarity, in simplicity, and also in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. Help me to redeem, not to say things that are unnecessary. Help me to bring out of treasure of your word things both old and new, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we worship you. Lord Jesus, King over the flood, we worship you. We welcome your presence. Lord Holy Spirit, we are still, Lord, in your presence. Come and have your way. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Aliyah, just keep playing that for me. Praise the Lord. I thank God for this privilege I have once again to share the word, to stand before God's people. Hallelujah. We will be still, the Bible says, in God's presence. You know, was a prophet, a minor prophet, that said something. He said, it's an evil time, so the prudent shall be silent. We'll be still. So the Church of Christ has come to a place whereby we either go ahead into the promised land. We cannot afford another 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. There's so much going on. The Bible talks about the flood of iniquity that begins to make you doubt if you're not careful. And you begin to wonder, where is the promise of his coming? And you see the wicked prosper in their ways. But the Bible says that now we shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, them that serve God and them that serve not. The title of my message is Acceptable Prayer. Let's say it together, Acceptable Prayer. Let's open our Bible's book, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. 28, verse 9. Proverbs 28, verse 9. Let's read together. He that turneth away his ear from hearing what? The law. Even his prayer shall be what? Abomination. Let's read once again. This is the text we'll be talking about today. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be what? Abomination. You see, the Bible did not say that they did not get answers to prayer. They got answers. But God is saying in his word that whoever turns away his ear from hearing the law of God, his prayer is abomination. That already shows us the state of the church in which we are in today. There are a lot of prayers going up every day. Abraham said some time ago, he said, you cannot throw a stone in any corner of this nation and not hit a church. The other day, I was going to school in Lyford on a bike, and I started counting the number of churches from the police station in Akpete to Lyford. I counted over 20. Not to talk of the ones that are inside, the ones that put their signboards. Then you ask this question, how come the nation is in this state? How come we have not seen the change that we desired? Why? Because a lot of prayers that have been offered up are abomination. Results are coming, but they are not from God. The Bible says he gave them the desires of their heart and sent leanness to their soul. Let's look at this same scripture in NIV. Then you ask this question, where do they get the answers from? Satan. An enemy has done this. It is called deception. Let's look at that. If anyone turns a deaf ear to the law, even his prayers are detestable before God. He may get the answer. They are getting the answers before our very eyes. But as far as God is concerned, it's called abomination. The Lord Jesus said something. He said, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. So, why are we talking about this today? Firstly, when you see that from that scripture, prayers are based on God's laws. You don't just pray anyhow. You see, if you pray anyhow, the deception is many are praying anyhow and they are getting results. There are different kinds of prayer mountains everywhere that people are rushing to. rebellious hearts, and they are getting results not according to God's law. Bible says it's an abomination. It stinks in the sight of God. You see, when the prayers go forth from them, it doesn't get to the third heavens. It gets to the heavens over the earth, where Satan rules, the prince of the power of the air, and it gives them that they are asked for. Why? And sends leanness to their soul. Are you following me? So, why is this happening at this time? You need to ask that question. Let's open my Bible before 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. As we turn there, you see, with that word, deaf ear, or that turns the air, we speaks of a rebellious and a stubborn heart. It's not that you are listening to pastor's message on the TV, and then no. When he says you turn away your ear, he's talking about a stubborn and rebellious heart. A heart that is establishing covetous practices that are forsaking the way of God, like Balaam. So what does it say? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. For the time will come. But the time has come when they will not endure sound what? Doctrine. But after their own lust shall do what? Heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. Itchy ears. They keep listening to things that will not take them towards purpose and destiny. Ask this question. If they don't get answers, why would they keep heaping onto themselves teachers that have itching ears? That means they get results. That's where the deception is. I mean, if you are bowing before an idol in the natural, nobody bow before an idol, or you are going to a particular place and the man is talking rubbish, everybody with common sense will know that when somebody is talking rubbish, somebody comes and says, okay, all of you that have so and so amount, bring it to the altar now and God will give you so and so amount. And you see people obey. Now, if nothing happens, if you don't get anything, nobody will go to that church the next day. But you see, when things begin to happen and people stand on the pulpit and begin to give stupid testimonies of what God did when they do that stupid act, then you see people flooding that place. And that is where the deception is. Praise the Lord. Let's look at it in the Amplified Bible. Check. What does it say in the Amplified Bible? That same verse. Thank you. Amplified. 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate or endure sound and awesome instruction. It is fathers, true fathers, that give instruction. But having ears itching for what? Something pleasing and gratifying. That reminds me of the word flesh. They will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, choosing to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold. A lot of errors today going on in the body of Christ. I don't have time to mention them. Let's just move on. That is why in the book of Hosea chapter 8 verse 12. Hosea 8 12. God was talking to Israel using Ephraim as a type. He says that, I have written to him the great things of my what? Law. But, say but, they were what? Counted as a strange thing. Strange children. Bible says, Ephraim is joined to our idol, so let him alone. This is not a time to begin to, what is Jehoshaphat doing in the house of Ahab? I better pray for them quietly and don't go there. Next verse. They sacrifice what? Flesh. For the sacrifice of mine offerings and eat, but the Lord accepted them not. We are talking about acceptable prayer. Now will he remember that what? Iniquity. That means they got it through iniquity. And visit their what? Sins, and they shall return to Egypt. Backsliding. Bible says that many shall fall away because they will give heed to seducing spirits. Two thoughts are because of next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For Israel has forgotten his maker and builded temples. Folks, this is not about building branches anywhere. It's about building lives of people. It's not about building and establishing branches everywhere. And Judah has multiplied fenced cities.
But I will send a fire, talking about the glory of God, upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. What are we saying? Let me make it very simple so you can understand. The church is idolatry today, majority in the church. The Bible calls idolatry in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, covetousness. Ephesians 5, 5 says the same thing. Idolatry, like Pastor says, is not when you go to a corner and begin to bow down. No. It's having a covetous heart, a stubborn heart against the purpose of God. Thank God for Pastor Kunle's message this morning. They come in the name of Christ, but against the purpose of Christ. What is that purpose of Christ? That he might present unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That is the purpose of God. Paul said, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man, that we will present every man what? Perfect in Christ Jesus. He said, the pastor was sharing with us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, so verse 14. Said he has called us unto what? The obtaining of what? The glory. Not just any glory. The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our purpose. That is our destiny. Thank God for the song that the choir sang today. That we're not going to stop running this race until we see him face to face. He's not talking about the rapture here, folks. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about it. He says that when I was young, I thought I was a child. He said, when I'm old now, I'm mature. He said, I thought like a man. He said that now until I see him face to face. God is waiting for that day that sons and daughters will awake in his likeness. That you look in the mirror one day and you no longer see yourself, but you see Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. That's our destiny. Let no man deceive you. Let no church deceive you. That's our purpose. That's our destiny. But you see, we're talking about acceptable prayer. We're talking about the deception that's in the church. I'll use a story to explain what I'm saying. Look at the story of Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, and we'll read. You see, the issue is this. You see, when Adam and Eve fell, put it on the board. You see, God did something. He killed an animal and clothed them with skin. You know, initially they clothed themselves with fig leaves. But God to have covered them with skin, must have killed an animal, thereby shedding blood. So Adam taught his children and told them that, look, God will never accept any sacrifice if you don't bring it to him without blood. He told Cain, the senior brother, and he told Abel. After the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. You see, these pictures that you see that they bring shriveled bananas, that's not it. The harvest they brought at that time were big. Because the earth had just entered the course, so things were still okay. So it's not a question of what he brought, whether it was small or big. It was how he presented it to God. So it says that, okay, next verse. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Mama was talking about last week about giving God the tithe. And about opening the windows. You see, when Abel did this, the windows of heaven opened. You know what happened? The Bible does not say it. But in the Old Testament, anytime God accepts your offering, fire came down. Next verse. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Would you see? Obviously, that Lord, we should be ready so we are not ashamed at his coming. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm grateful. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance falling? Next verse. I want us to get to a particular word. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Is it Abel's acceptance was not because he killed animals, but because he brought the firstlings of his offering. He shed blood and presented to God. And you see, the Bible doesn't say it. How something must have happened there for Abel to know that God accepted this one and did not accept this one. The fire fell. You remember Elijah on the mount with 450 prophets? So God demonstrated, like he's going to demonstrate in this day, the offering that he accepts. The Bible says that in the book of Malachi, it's not in my notes. It says that the Lord whom you see shall suddenly come into his temple. He says something down the line. He says that then he will purify his soul, that the offering, they may offer up an offering, righteousness. That means the offering thus far has not been done in righteousness. And the blood of Jesus Christ that makes that offering righteous before God. So why, it's a very short message. Why is God taking time to talk to us over and over? Pastor has shared about the same message about witchcraft in the church, the art of disobedience. Why is God bringing it? It's very simple. There is deception in the land. In the universal church, there is deception. There's no time to give examples. Just turn on your TV. You see a lot of this. There was a day I was watching one recently. I just, let me just see. The guy said they were walking by the seashore. And all of a sudden, they saw a key. And when they saw that key, God said, I give them the key of whatever. And that they now made replicas of that key. That if you come and you get that key, so and so, what happened to you? I said, my God. And then if you look at the screen, you see phone numbers. People are calling in. Sowing the miracle seed. Selling their soul. So what are we saying? Why is God? It's very simple. I have two reasons. Why is God bringing or emphasizing this to us? There's deception. And God loves us so much. He does not want us to be deceived. The Bible says even the elect shall... Don't say I can't be deceived though. Say even the elect shall be deceived. The reason why you are still here today is because you are submitted to authority. That's why if you stray out... The field of your father is, thank you, sir. You know what happened? You'll be deceived. You won't even understand what is going on. So that is why God loves us. Point number one. He does not want us to be deceived. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. Jesus Christ, when he was talking about the end time, he kept talking about deception. Not to make Peter, James, and John afraid or the generation that will come. But so we can take heed to ourselves. Because why? There is heightened satanic activity in the air. And to deceive people, to take them away from their purpose. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man what? Deceive you. That means deception comes from men. Like Pastor Colin was sharing earlier on. He said, they let no man deceive you. Colossians chapter 2. He said, let no man deceive you by vain deceit, philosophy, and all that kinds of nonsense. Are you following me? Now verse 5. Thank you, Jesus. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And shall deceive many, not a few. So don't say, I can't be deceived. Who told you? If not for God's mercy, covering, coupled with your own honesty of heart. Covering will not work if you don't have a honest heart. After you can be in this church and walk away. Verse 11. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. And many false prophets shall what? Arise many. Say many. Not a few. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Notice he was talking to God's covenant people and also Christians. Say many. He didn't say some more. Say many. That means it will look so real. If you are not careful, you'll be deceived. But will not be deceived in Jesus' name. As God, why God is having us preach this message and echo what the fathers have said. Verse 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And because what? Iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That is the flaw there. That the king rules over. Remember the ark? When the flood came upon the earth, the name of Noah, the ark rose over it. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, that time turn there, Revelation chapter 12. It says, and the serpent cast out what? Water like a flood against the woman. As a flood already. Say, because iniquity shall abound, love of many shall wax cold. You see, that the force of iniquity is targeted to make your love wax cold. Let me make it so simple. It does not want you to perfect the love of God like Pastor Colin was sharing earlier this morning. Because your faith can only work by love. So if you're not walking love and your faith is working, that is not genuine faith. Verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. That saved there is not talking about the rapture. It's talking about the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Because after you do our time, it's not there. You know, says this couple of kingdoms shall be preached towards the earth of the earth, and then the end shall come. So there are two ends there. Pastor has taught so many times. Because of time, we don't have time to turn there. That's why the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Put it on the board. God was warning them. You see, he was giving them those instructions, not for the wilderness experience, because they were under Moses' covering. It was when they are about to enter the promised land. What does it say? It said, if there arise among you a prophet, there's always a false prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and give thee a sign or a wonder. He said, yeah, no. Next verse. And the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. You see, it's not going to come as simple as this. Let me try and make it very simple. At the same time, I'm not condemn people, because it's not hard and fast rule. What I'm pleased with is you, every decision you make in life must be based on the love of God. And then, does it take me away from my purpose, or moves me towards my purpose? So if it's a job, if it's a husband, you know, anything you do. That's why God told the kings, those in Jeremy. He said that you should not marry many wives. Wives that can be a type. He said, let the thorn his heart away from God. Anything that takes your heart away from purpose and destiny, I find is also similar to what God is warning them. I say, it becomes a God. Covetousness in particular becomes, you see, you now begin to pray, begin to seek God. Is that what you want? The Bible says that where your heart is, there will your treasure be. Your heart is no longer with God. It's how much you can make and then go to heaven. Verse 3. And thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that demon of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. It's all about love of God, perfecting the love of God in our lives. That's our purpose and that's our destiny. If I had my way, I'll put Philippians chapter 3, verse 2 on many churches today. Put it on the board. It's many people put it in our houses. Say, beware of dogs. If I had my way, many churches, I would hang it on their door. So as you are entering, you see, beware of. If I would beware of man eating dogs, beware of it. God called them dogs. I didn't call them dogs. I'm only Jekuje. I didn't call them dogs. God called them dogs. So if I get signposts and put it, look, beware of dogs. So if you feel you can enter that compound that has a man eating dog, you can go ahead. Serpent is the dust, is serpent's meat. Jesus Christ said the same thing. He said, beware of covetousness. Same thing. Say, a man's life does not consist of abundance of things that he has, but in the knowledge of God that he has. Praise the Lord. So, how does iniquity abound? It's very simple as we move very fast. Lord, please help me. So, iniquity abounds three ways. Satan through the air, like Pastor was sharing with us, Ephesians 2:2, says that the prince of the power of the air. Ezekiel talks about it, Ezekiel 28. He says that iniquity was found in you. Then iniquity abounds in the air through unbelievers. What they say? The Bible says that where sin did much more abound, grace did much more abound. Proverbs 29 verse 6. Let us look at it to understand. Why am I talking about iniquity? There's an antidote for it. It's the grace of God. I said, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. That's the antidote. But see, for us to know, so we don't miss unconsciously, you know, cooperate with Satan. Satan, you know, Bible says iniquity was found in him. Iniquity is in the air. Job says, man breaketh iniquity like water. Then unbelievers, when they talk, the things they do, the songs they sing, they release that force of iniquity into the air. And then through, are we there? It says, I said Proverbs 29 verse 16, just to buttress that point about unbelievers. Proverbs 29 verse 16. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, who's 16? When the wicked are what? Multiplied. What is the result? Transgression increases. But the righteous their seed their fall. How? Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Grace does not just abound. But says, who are given through the knowledge of Him, whereby He gives us exceeding great and precious promises. By these promises, I partake of the divine nature. All God is just a tithe. Overcome that abounding iniquity. And then, as Pastor has taught us, iniquity abounds through the hearts of stubborn and rebellious Christians. Satan used their hearts as a potter to perform all these lying miracles, signs and wonders. People that have made up their mind that now God's in purpose and destiny as a rebellious, stubborn. They come in the name of Christ, but against the purpose of Christ. They use the resources that God has given us to fulfill their own purpose and not God's purpose. So there's something I want us to learn here. I said iniquity abounds in the air through Satan, unbelievers, what they say, and rebellious. Some of us are not rebellious in that sense. We are ignorant. But you should not be ignorant of the advice of enemy. You see, the things you say, the things you, the songs you listen to, they increase the amount of iniquity in the air. You know what Satan does? None of us wake up in the morning. At least I won't do it by the grace of God. With my wife now, even if she's not there, I begin to sing, "Ooh, baby, gonna take you home with me tonight." She's gonna, yeah, you're laughing. Am I gonna wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, babe, I'm gonna take you home tonight. I'll do this to you. Nobody will do that. Well, can you do that?" So he gives that song to someone like Beyonce, whom you like. Bible says you have what you say. So you like the rhythm. So begin to sing "Sorry" or "Partition." Yeah, yeah, you're not going to wake up. Are you going to wake up and say, "I'm going crazy today"? No, you will never do that. So what he does is very simple. He gives those lyrics to those that can sing. Remember Satan, Bible said that he inbuilt in him was tablets. So you take that same song, being ignorant, and put your headphones or whatever, and begin to make those confessions. As far as you are concerned, you are singing. So you are giving ammunition to the enemy. That is why Jesus Christ said, "Every man shall give an account of every idle word they speak." Don't be a fifth column in the body of Christ. This is not to condemn anybody, but let's check ourselves. Bridle your tongue. Don't just say anything. And when you say something wrong, correct it. Say, "Father, I confess my sins, clean with the blood. Lord, with your fire by the Spirit." That is why Jesus Christ told Peter 3 times. After he denied him 3 times. He said, "Love us more than this." What he repeated himself, he said, "Yes, I love you." He had to cancel what Peter had said. "I have never come back like Judas." So it's very important. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Put in the Amplified because of time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for covering. Is that Amplified? Okay. "For the mystery," say the mystery. Mystery means secret. I just showed you a secret now. But that example. That you are something that you are ignorant of, even though you are doing it. "For the mystery of iniquity," KJV calls it lawlessness. That hidden principle of what? Rebellion against constituted authority is already at work in the world. But it is restrained only until he who restrains is taken out of the way. It's been restrained by the perfect church. Next verse. Next verse. "And then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed. And the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by his appearing at his coming." That is in two ways. It's going to happen, you know, when Jesus Christ comes at the rapture. And you know, after this battle of Armageddon, sorry, and then it's happening already. He said the mission of, he said he's already at work. He's already preparing the ground for the Antichrist. John said that, look, like that whoever comes in the name of Christ against the purpose of Christ is an Antichrist. He said that whoever denies that Christ is come in the flesh, that is imperfection, is an Antichrist. Whoever says that perfection is not possible is an Antichrist spirit walking through him. Either he knows it or not. God is God's purpose. That's God's destiny for the church. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The coming of a lawless one, the Antichrist, that's going to happen in the future. But the Spirit is already at work. Through the activity and the working of Satan, and will be attended by what? Great power, and with all sorts of pretended miracles and signs and delusive marvels, all of them lying wonders. Say lying wonders. That is why the Lord Jesus, verse 10, let's look at it, verse 10 before. "And by unlimited seduction," say seduction. You know when a woman seduces a man? Proverbs talks about it. He said, she frosts him with the words of her mouth. flattery begins to seduce the people of God who are perishing, going to perdition because they did not welcome the truth that they might be saved. That's not born again. Perfection. Once you don't welcome the truth of our being saved, a pastor was telling us in the morning, say the end of our, receiving the end of our faith, which is salvation of our soul. He's not talking about getting born again. They were already born again in Thessalonian church. Said because they loved not the truth. What truth? The truth about going on unto perfection, about fulfilling purpose and destiny. Once you leave that, the Bible says that are swept off and begin to vain jangly. That's what you see on the TV today. All these colorico need the messages that they pray. No beginning, no end. Matthew 7:22. Just to buttress my point. That was just Christ said something. He says that many. Remember the many we were talking about earlier on? Say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name I've cast out devils. They will allow themselves to be cast out so they can be deceived. When you talk about my mob, I should be your boy. Want to catch a monkey, you pretend like a monkey, so you do like this. So the monkey will come to you, catch him. So Satan will allow himself to be cast out so I can deceive many. Add seven more. Thank you, sir. More spirits. I says that, and in thy name I cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Next verse. And then I, who is I? The Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns the perfection and fullness in his body, who professes them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that walk iniquity. That means everything they did, it was through the force of iniquity. They did not do it through the work of faith and power. They did not have the perfection of the love of God as their goal. Everything is what I can get now. And it has a name. It is called Babylon. Babylon. So the second reason, the first thing, God doesn't want us to be deceived. Thank God for pastor. Thank God for mommy. I'm grateful. I would have been deceived a long time ago. Just by the mercy of God. When I first got born again, I was wandering from place to place, from pillar to post. Oh, Uncle, you're meaning God just put me on that personality. When they didn't see me in church, they would say, "Well, brother, where were you yesterday?" I would say, "I was strong. I don't know why I came strong." That's what we all say. We just give one silly excuse. They just did not leave me. They just cornered me. They would bring me to church. I pray. It was later when I started doing that, I started understanding this thing. Before, I did not understand. I didn't understand. The Bible says, "Shall cast out devils." Says, "Shall lay hands on the sick and the sick." There's nothing wrong with that. But it must not be through the force of iniquity or take us away from our purpose and destiny. So, what are we saying? Second point is this. God is about to judge Babylon that holds the golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of our fornication. When you hear the word judgment, don't be afraid. Babylon is not a church per se. It's a spirit operating through any Christian that will omit the greater masters of law so he can get what he wants to get. Thank God. I don't believe anybody here is under that, the influence of that spirit. We are under the right covering. So don't think about people. But see, it operates to people, church leadership, Bible because of strange children. They omit the greater matters of law. They emphasize the blessing. And don't talk about the conditions. They omit purpose in their messages. There's nobody that will live here today. When you leave church, you know where you are going to. Right or wrong. So, but when they teach their messages, they don't show you where you are going to. It's wandering around the wilderness. The Bible says that they rose up the earth and they started just to play. It lasted exceedingly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, "Oh, with Benjamin, God was not pleased." Why? He said, they sat down to eat, they rose up to play. But Moses is coming down. Revelations chapter 18, verses 1. Put in the Amplified, I believe. No, Revelation 17, verse 1. From the Amplified, because of time. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for covering. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls then came and spoke to me, saying, come with me, talking to John. I will show you the doom, the sentence, the judgment of the great harlot, idolatress. So he's not talking physical here, those that are committing fornication. That is bad enough. Was talking about spiritual idolatry. He says, who is seated on many waters? What are that speaks about people, Christian and unbelievers? Verse two. She with whom the rulers of the earth have joined in what prostitution? What is it? Idolatry. So it's not talking about a pastor that is having an affair out of the marital home. That is bad enough. But it's talking about those that are committing idolatry. It's clear here. The inhabitants of the earth have become intoxicated. When they start preaching, we are drunk with the wine of fornication. Babylon wants to ruin you. That is what the Lord did to Samuel, Samson. Not to you. Now afflicted him, took his power. The enemy has shaved off their seven locks. Next verse. Because of time. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 3. And the angel bore me away, wrapped in the spirit, into the desert wilderness. And I saw a woman seated on a scarlet beast that was all covered with blasphemous titles, names, and he had seven heads and 10 horns. Next verse. When I was robed in purple and scarlet and bedecked with gold, precious stones, pearls, and she was holding in her hand a golden cup of the accursed offenses and the filth of her lewdness and vice. Remember also, we are talking about prayer, acceptable prayer here. The Bible says that God gathers prayers in vials. So Babylon too has his own cup full of abominations that Satan now pours out to effect his will. There's nothing that God does that Satan doesn't have a counterfeit. And unfortunately, he uses the church. Verse, that cup is full. That cup is full. I will show you. That cup is full. We have no time to waste, folks. God has to step in this situation and put an end to this. We cannot afford any. Let me tell you. I personally cannot afford another 60 years, so to speak. I can't. I want to see this thing happen in my lifetime. I fall in carry the glory. I can't. You can't also. There's no time. So we can't play games with the enemy again. Or pray unacceptable prayers. Next verse. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And on our forehead there was inscribed name of mystery, that iniquity, with a secret symbolic meaning. Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes, idolatresses, and of the filth and atrocities and abominations of the earth. Remember, I was talking about prayers that are not acceptable to God, not based on God's laws, that God considers abomination. Verse 6. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. I also saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of saints, for God's sake, saints, God's own people. God's people and the blood of martyrs, even the best. When you hear the word martyr, that should tell you that anybody can be deceived. Remember, Stephen was the first martyr. I didn't say Stephen was deceived, though. I'm just saying that the Bible says that when it mentions martyrs, it's talking about the kind of Christians that can be deceived. Stephen was not deceived, but I'm saying that boy can be a martyr to give your life for Christ. Are you following me? God's people and the blood of martyrs who witnessed for Jesus. And when I saw her, I was utterly amazed and wondered greatly. This spirit, cooking balero, if you don't yield to it, it will try to kill you. Same spirit walking through Herod when he killed James. We will have the victory, he has failed. Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. To show you what happens, how I operate. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. 18, verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven. She's talking about Babylon. Having what great power, and the earth was lighting with his glory. It's the glory that will set aside, though. It's the glory I'm expecting that will differentiate between those that serve God and those that don't serve him. Nothing short of the glory will bring about that distinction. Next verse. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. It's fallen and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful blood. Next verse. For all nations have drunk of one of our fornication, or one of her wrath and of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of our delicacies. All these deceitful messages that we hear, we don't hear them, that they preach. Are you following me? I want to, because of time, move to verse 4, because of time. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of our sins, and that you receive none of our plagues. You see, it's a message of hope. Why is God bringing the message to her again? Say, come out of her. Come out of her, my people. God loves his people so much. He's the one that paid the price to redeem everyone. But say, come out of her. Come out. Come out. It's not necessarily, again, a particular church. It could be a church that operates in that spirit, under that influence of that spirit. But say, come out. From omitting the weight of matters of the law, come out. From not having a purpose in your life to fulfill your purpose and destiny, which is conformed to the image of. Come out. That's how you come out. That's how you come out. You can be sitting there and say, okay, thank God I'm not coming now because I'm not in that church. No, no. You come out by keeping the weightier matters of the law. You come out by setting your purpose to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and to carry that glory. That's how you come out. If you don't set that as a goal, you are in. And receive verse 5, help the Holy Spirit to redeem your time. For our sins have reached unto heaven, and God remembered our iniquity. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Verse 12. 12, because of time. Verse 12. 12. The merchandise. There's nothing wrong with this merchandise, so. But it depends on how you get it. Say, the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen and of purple, of silk, of scarlet, of all tanned wood, all manner of vessels of ivory, all manner of vessels of most precious wood and all brass, iron, and marble. God made all these things, so there's not wrong with all these things. Satan didn't make them. He can't make anything except to distort. Next verse. 13. And cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and what, the souls of men. Look at where he hid that. You see, you see all the gold. When they preach the messages, all you hear is the gold, the silver, the tanned wood, the what is this, why God is going to give you this and do all that. They're under it. They hide your soul. You can say, what shall he profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? You lose your soul not when you go to hell. You lose your soul when you don't perfect the love of God in that soul. The Bible says that the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of faith unfeigned and a good conscience. As it's receiving the end of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. It's not talking about going to heaven or hell. It's talking about perfecting the love of God in your life. Wills being fully submitted to the will of God, to humility, like Pastor Kuni was sharing this morning. Mind being enlightened by revelation, and you know the mind and the ability of Christ. Don't give up. I know it takes time. You know, this thing for quite some time. Don't give up. It's going to happen. God is not a man to lie, now it's on hand to repent. Don't give up. Don't give up. Your emotions controlled by the fruit of the Spirit. Don't give up. If possible, God, giving up, what would have happened? What would have happened? I thank God. I'm just giving an example, sir, because it happened before all of us here. It wasn't an easy road for him. But the straight and narrow is the way. Constricted. You cannot always have your way. There's only one way. There's a similar that way, a similar drive, but the end of it is death. That's just more because of time. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The souls of men. So right now, there's a civil war going on in the church. There has to be a civil war. Moses said, who is along the Lord's side? You don't have an option. You have been born in time of war. So guard your loins with strength. I'm not talking about a physical battle here. Oh, you are carrying guns. We are not terrorists, for God's sake. We are not suicide bombers. Pastor, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and bringing into captivity every thought to be under Christ. But he says, the weapons of our warfare. So we're in the warfare. To pretend, you can't play dead with Satan. Or is it rollover that we should play in those days? You can't be. No, it will finish you. So in time of war, and the Bible says in time of civil war, the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker, and the house of David waxed stronger and stronger. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1. 2 Samuel, sorry. Chapter 3 verse 1. It's when God had pronounced that David was going to reign king. He did not become king until after the war. It wasn't automatic. Now, as in the natural, you are not praying that somebody should die. But here Saul is a spirit and does not want to let go of the throne. Retired gatekeepers. There was a long war between the house of Saul and house of David. But David works stronger and stronger. And the house of Saul works weaker and weaker. Why? I would say why? Say works. Why? Works. Well, later on in the book of Matthew 12:24, it says, iniquity shall abound and the love of many, Saul, shall wax cold. So if your love is waxing cold, you are of the house of Saul. If your love is waxing stronger and stronger, you are of the house of David. So simple that if you are perfecting the love of God in your life, as Pastor Kunle was saying, talking about Joseph today, every opportunity that comes against you is an opportunity to allow your love to wax. That's why I said, let fervent charity. In 1 Peter, talk about fervent charity. He said, loving, he's talking about the end time. He said, having fervent charity amongst each other. For fervent, having fervent charity amongst each other. For charity, love, covers a multitude of sins. So simple, guys. Pastor has taught us. It's so simple. Father, I confess that since Jesus, my I pray in tongues. That's how you, fervent. The Bible says that this scripture says that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And above all things, if you read in earlier verses, talk about the end time. Have fervent charity among yourselves. So if you have fervent charity, love is working stronger. You are the house of David. For charity, love, that word charity, love, shall cover a multitude of sins, washing of feet. So simple. If any man sees but sin, it's not the dead, he shall ask for life. So simple. So we said God has to step in position. How is he going to step in position? Just refer to a few scriptures and we'll round up. Zechariah 13 verse 7, popular scripture. I will explain it so we don't go to the home and to our homes like Paul or like Peter. When Jesus Christ said that, wherever I don't have a sword, let him get a sword. They said, Lord, here are two swords. I said, Peter, no, but so don't leave this thing about God. Maybe go and buy swords in the market. I'll be going around. No, I'll be there. Says, I wear a sword against my shepherd. Against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. If you don't smite the shepherd in this situation, the sheep will not be scattered, because they are deluded, they are deceived. It's an act of love. And the sheep shall be scattered. I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Next verse. And shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two thoughts then shall be cut off and die, but the thoughts shall be left there. You see, when you hear the word die, don't be afraid. You see, it's not that they die and go to, not all of them, but you see, it's an act of love. You see, God will just take them to him, like that boy in Corinth, although he repented. So instead of them to die in deception, you know, or like the Bible says that those that end up denying Christ, having taste of the good word of God, for them to die and go to, God just take them away and take them home. The Bible says the righteous is taken from the evil to consider. You don't consider it in the book of Isaiah. So don't be afraid. We will not die. We are under a good covering. We are obeying the laws. God does not demand immediate perfection, but demands immediate practice. So you get down, you get up. What we are saying, accept it as a truth and begin to work it out. God will give you enough time. Praise the Lord. So, yes, next verse. And shall come to next verse. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, said the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, and the third shall be left there. Next verse. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. Remember Malachi, same thing. And shall call upon my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people. Yes, and the Lord will say, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. God says somewhere, he said, don't touch not your unclean. He said, I will be your God. He said, I will be my people. God wants us to be his people. You see, God has one desire. He has not changed from the Garden of Eden. To come down the cool of the day to fellowship with his people. It has not changed. It has not changed. Like we are worshiping God, the presence of God came down. He desires to stay. That's what the spirit that I measure, the abiding presence of God, is all about. This is that we experience, that we live, experience, and God wants you to abide. So each one of you, everyone, you carry that presence every day. So why will we allow God to allow one shepherd to hinder that purpose? Next. Okay, that's fine. The scripture God gave me some time ago, I was praying at home and I'm reading my Bible. And I've often asked myself, I said, God, not because I want people to be judged. No, I don't have any desire. But when God tells you something, you have to align with it. And then you must make sure that God, perhaps God is love. So if God says, if somebody has a problem, maybe cancer, I think the hospital and doctor says that, look, we have to cut off this part of the body. Is that doctor wicked? He's trying to give that person more time to live. So when he heard the word, two thoughts have been cut off. It's not that God is wicked. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 10. Please amplify because of time. When we talk about swords, about selling, it's not talking about physical swords, but we're talking about the sword of the spirit. It's not, that's why you can't imagine that this person is new. You can know to the abundance of the heart of that person, but you see, when you pray in the spirit, you are wielding that sword. It's not you, it's the Holy Spirit that is doing this. Say, right here, cursed be he who does the work of the Lord negligently and slackness and deceitfully. The Bible says they handle the word of God deceitfully. The Bible says they are cursed. And cursed be he who kicks back his sword from the blood in executed judgment pronounced by the Lord. Two ways. You can't say I'm not part of this evil world. You don't have a choice. Cursed be he that is doing the word of God deceitfully. The Bible says that they lie in wait to deceive men in cunning craftiness. I would say, cursed is he that kicks back his sword. You can't say, I don't want to pray. You come here, I will pray about the Nigerian church. You say, I don't want to pray. You're keeping back your sword. You're not the one that's used the sword. It's the Holy Spirit making the same for you according to the will of God. So, it's not your business. You have just presented yourself as a vessel, meet for the master's use, that God's purpose can be fulfilled. That is why, when God showed me school, I said, God, but this Old Testament, you know, it just came out of my mouth. God said, oh, monk, God. What did Peter say? He says, curse, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Peter was talking, said, curse children! He said, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls in and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. Curse children. New Testament. We are not cursing anybody. Please don't curse anybody. Just pray in the spirit that the will of God be done. And the kingdom of God will come. Or else we won't end this age, but we will end it in Jesus' name. We are blessed children. Our own portion is Bible. You cannot bless whom God has caused. So we are blessed. Praise the Lord. So how do we pray acceptable prayers? I begin to round up. Pastor has taught us about the sweet odor of Esther. This is a spin-off from that message. And altars of whole stones. You can refer to that message. You can get it now in the website of the church. And go and study the most. It's what is happening. It's present truth. So how do we pray acceptable prayers? You can't pray acceptable prayers if you are not under covering. Somebody said, covering. Yes! You can't do this thing without covering. covering will always come out in this end time. Because Christ said towards the end, he said, all of Jerusalem, I've tried to gather you like a hen who gather her children. He saw what was coming. And they refused. Will not refuse in Jesus' name. Exodus chapter 32, verse 17. See covering what he did. Moses and Joshua. When the rest were committing idolatry, Joshua didn't know. Are we there? It says, and when Joshua heard the noise, Joshua was a young man. Of the people, as they shouted, they were praying, all this mountain of whatever. He said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Ah, Adura. You are praying, Matonosi, Adura, Adura, Kikon. Praying in tongues, oh. But he was very young. He was deceived. Joshua was deceived. He didn't know about you need covering. If you watch those programs, if you go there and they declare and they come, you will think that it's the noise of war. Bible says, if a trumpet shall give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? An uncertain sound. But this, the point is this, without covering, Joshua would have been deceived. Would have gone to join them. Next verse. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing to our ear. That's what saved Joshua. That is what will save you and I. So count on it from covering. It will always come out. In those days, when we were in school, you know, there are some papers, questions that will come out. I can remember once I was praying. A funny story. I don't want, you're looking so sober. You know, we entered, not me, we entered the examination for GCE external in those days. And they all sat on for chemistry. And it's sulfur will always come out. A question on sulfur will always come out in those days. I don't know why things have changed. So the guy entered, he said, sulfur! Oh, to your ladu, oh my yo. Covering will always come out. It's a recurring decimal. It will come out. You can't escape it. Your Christ said, as a hen, I've tried to gather you. Because it's what was coming. Covering, don't say covering. It will always come out. What to your Lord doing? What's your message? That is why, you know, Peter, the disciples said, teach us to pray. They went to Jesus Christ. They saw that the way John was praying was different. Let me put it a step further. Somehow they knew that the way you are praying, it won't get you across. So they went to said, Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. Like John taught his disciples to pray. That means that they saw the way Jesus Christ prayed was different from the way John prayed. John's prayer will not take you to the promised land. Another message for another day. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong prayer and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard, he not deferred. Being a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. The second thing, and the final point as we close is, help me, Holy Spirit, to just stop. Is that we, I said, under covering, and then the second is that by faith, Romans 3:27. We operate the law. Please, Romans 3:27. Faith is a law. Say, faith is a law. Faith is a law. Say, for the truth of God hath no more abounded through my life unto his glory. Why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Romans 3:27. Talk about faith is a law. Says 27. Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. Faith is a law. It's a law. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. This is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. So he walked by faith. So we, by faith, operate the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God in our lives. In closing, let me give scripture as a pastor. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 21 talks about it. Shall be perfected by the blood of the everlasting covenant. I mentioned Abel earlier on. And the sacrifice accepted because the blood brought it with the blood. David in Psalm 19, verse 14 said something. He said that let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. That means it's possible for you not to be accepted. So you see the blood, the word, and then the spirit. As that the Spirit of God in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says that he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I would say the blood, the word, and the spirit. You don't omit any. To perfect, you know, you not that you now take to begin to pray for spurious things, you not direct it to perfect the love of God, like I quoted later on. So the end of the commandment is charity. Hebrews chapter 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 says that the end of the commandment is what? Love out of a pure heart, of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. What Pastor Glenn was telling us earlier on today, Galatians 5 chapter 6. Faith that worketh by love. If your faith is working and it's not by love, it's feigned faith. And our spirit is presenting that into you. Unless you are a spiritual babe under covering, and then God just uses covering to cover you, to supply the lack. In closing, the last scripture, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Paul was talking to the Hebrew church. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For you have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Next verse as we close and pray. So that, let's talk boldly. So that we will boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If you have God, you have everything. Folks, if I get the spirit that I measure, I have borrowed, I have everything. So what is he saying here? He's saying that let your conduct be without covetousness. That is, God's presence is stronger than those needs. So anytime you are tending towards covetousness, that means the presence of God has reduced. Say, let your conduct be without covetousness. For you have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you don't sense his presence at any point in time, I begin to tend towards covetousness. You begin to think, oh God, maybe I should go and do this there. Oh, I should go and do that there. And you begin to wonder. That means somehow you have left him. Let me put it that way. So like mom was saying, let us return unto the Lord. Uzziah said, you are stoned and he will bind us up. Said, after 2 days, will he revive us? And in the third day, he will raise us up. And we shall live in his sight. Now shall we know, as we follow on to know the Lord. Let's talk to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I give you praise. I give you all the glory. Don't condemn yourself. Thank God for covering. Thank God for all Pastor and Mommy have been sharing with us. I forgot to mention, years ago, Mommy brought a vision about prosperity, the flood of prosperity flood. Prosperity stuff, thank you. As she had a vision that God gave her, and it's still occurring today. I saw some people that have flood carried away. So why is God bringing this message? Because he cares for everybody. He doesn't want us to be deceived. And because he's going to judge Babylon. Not because he hates people that yield to that spirit, but because his purpose must be fulfilled. It has to. This age must close. It has to close. We can't continue in sin and expect grace to abound. God forbid. It has to close. And God is counting on you and I get our act together using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect his love, so he can release the spirit without measure and can go to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to break rule and disciple nations. Then and only then shall the end come. Let's stand to our feet. I will have no other gods. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for covering. Thank you for Pastor. Thank you for Mommy. Thank you. I give all the praise. I give all the glory.
I will have no other God but you alone. I will bow to no other God but you.
Respond to the Lord by putting one out our hand on our heart and the other hand lifted to God in surrender to ask Him for mercy to survive these times. Don't let's be like Rachel that sat on his idols. Idols are in the heart, covetousness. Expunge them with the bloody word and spirit. First, say, Father, I confess our sins, so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. In Jesus' name, we have life in abundant measure. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of praying acceptable prayers. I set my will and I determine afresh to stay under covering, not to turn away my ear from hearing your law, but to apply daily and diligently the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, using your blood, your word, and your spirit to perfect the love of God in my life, so that I will not fall into this end time deception. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you so much.